Evening. So we are on Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 42. It's on page 913 on your church Bibles. Starting at verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, or the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you have put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And do you intend to bring this man's blood upon us?" But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council called Gamaliel, a teacher of the Lord, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Joshua, for reading for us. Please do keep your Bible open, page 913 to 914, Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. That's going to really help you in the next 20 minutes or so whilst we get into this bit of the Bible. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for us and ask for God's help that we might be able to hear what he's going to say to us. So Heavenly Father, we've prayed already, we've sung that song and asked you to speak to us. So we pray again that you might speak to us. Give us ears to hear what you are saying. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, look, I want you to imagine for a second that you have with you and carry with you everywhere you go a small machine. Okay, think about that for a second. A small box that goes with you and it has a big red button on it. Chris, can we put the picture on the screen? And when you press that button, you shrink. You become smaller. You become less noticeable. You become quieter. I want you to imagine for a second we'll get to that in a moment. I want you to imagine for a second how often you'd press it. When would you press it? Perhaps when you're in class or in a meeting, when you know what you should say as a Christian, but you don't want to. What about in conversations when faith comes up, but you'd really not rather speak? What about in those moments when speaking about Jesus would make you stand out? What is it that makes you want to press your shrink button? What is it for you? Perhaps it's the fear of what people may think or do. Perhaps it's wanting comfort. Perhaps it's embarrassment about what the Bible says. Perhaps you've got doubts. Perhaps it's that feeling that you're a fraud. How can I possibly stand up and speak for Jesus if only they knew what I'm really like? Perhaps it's boredom. Well, in this passage, Acts chapter 5, 12 to 42, we're going to see four reasons to not press that shrink button. And they're four encouragements about the Lord Jesus, four encouragements about who he is and about what he's doing. And my prayer for us this evening is that as we see them, that we don't just think about doing or not doing things, but actually that we see more of who Jesus is. The four things we're going to see are these. We're going to see that he's already at work. Secondly, we're going to see that he's really in control. Thirdly, we're going to see that he's really, really good. And fourthly, we're going to see that no one can stop him. So let's get into the passage. Have a look down at Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. And the first thing we're going to see is that he's always at work. Now, I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, it was a long time ago, wasn't it? But back in chapter 4, we saw some of the difficulties that the early church was going through. The apostles, that's the leaders of the early church, they were arrested, they were thrown in jail, and they were threatened. Don't speak about Jesus. The authorities were trying to clamp down and stamp down and shut down the church. What did the church do? Well, we see in chapter 4, 23 to 31, that they did what we're doing this evening. They came together and they prayed. Have a look there at verses 29 and 30 of chapter 4. This is the prayer that they prayed, the early church. They prayed, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They were praying for boldness for themselves to be able to keep on speaking. And they were praying for God to continue to be at work, doing miracles and endorsing the message that they were sharing. Well, come to our passage that we're in today. Have a look at Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. And just for a moment, just in a moment of quiet, by yourself, I'm not going to ask you to share what you're spotting, but have a look and see if you can spot in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, some of the ways that God is answering that prayer. Just have a look for yourself for a moment. Did you spot down there in verse 12 that there were many signs and wonders being done. They'd prayed that, they'd asked for that, and God was answering that prayer there. Have a look down at verse 14. They'd asked for boldness to speak the word and asked for the Lord to endorse their message. And have a look down at 14. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord. The last time round, we saw that there was at least 5,000 men, not including women and children. Well, here, we're just told that there's multitudes, even more people are being added. Have a look down at verses 15 to 16, and we see there that so many people were being healed. The Holy Spirit was so powerfully at work that it wasn't just through the apostles and their hands. Did you spot that slightly weird phrase? Peter walked by and his shadow fell on them and they were being healed. It's as if the Spirit is so powerfully at work that he's not limited by the apostles being there. He's doing these healings around them, through them, and next to them, even at those times when they weren't even aware. I wonder, have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced anything like that before? You know, when you've been praying for someone and looking for an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus, perhaps to invite them to church, and you don't quite get round to it, but then actually the Lord is at work. He's doing something and you're not aware of it. And at a later point, you find they were in a different city and a Christian came and sat next to them in class and started sharing something with them then. The Spirit is already at work. That's what we see here in Acts chapter 5. That's deeply encouraging. And it's what we're seeing here in our country at the moment as well. You might have heard some people talking about what's called the quiet revival. That's where many people are starting to have this real curiosity about Christianity. Maybe that's you here this evening. You wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you're curious. What's this all about? We're seeing this happening over and over again. People are curious and they want to pop into church. They want to take a Bible. And some of them are turning to follow the Lord Jesus. The Spirit is at work and he's doing it right here in Sheffield and right here in this church. And I think that's really exciting. We've had the joy, Ash said it earlier on, we've had the joy of giving out around 22 Bibles to people that are just curious and just want to find out more. We had the joy of seeing a couple of people come along to a discussion group called The World We All Want. People curious to find answers, to find out more about who Jesus is. So why shrink? The Spirit is already at work. Be encouraged. The Spirit is at work, both in Acts and in the UK, here in Sheffield, and even amongst us and other churches here. Let's press pause for a second. In a moment of quiet, why don't you just think to yourself, who would you love to find Jesus this year? Just for a moment, just think for yourself, who is it that you would love to meet Jesus this year? I'm going to pray in a moment, but just a moment of quiet whilst we answer this question in our heads. Lord, we are so grateful that you are already at work here. We pray that you would be at work in the hearts and in the minds, in the lives of those people that we're thinking of right now. And we pray that prayer that the apostles and the early Christians prayed. Would you grant us, your servants, to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Amen. So that's our first encouragement. Number one, don't shrink because God is already at work. Let's have a look at our second encouragement. It's down there in verses 17 to 21. Have a look at verse 17 and see what happens there. The early church is growing massively. Loads of people are turning to the Lord Jesus. And verse 17, do you see it down there? The authorities were filled with jealousy about that. They thought that they were the ones that were in control. They'd threatened the Christians and told them to shut up. But the Christians kept on speaking. They kept on growing in number. So do you see what happens down there? Have a look at verse 18. They arrested and threw the apostles in jail. They didn't do it quietly. No, they did it as publicly as they could. They really wanted to show everyone that they were the ones in charge. But have a look at the next verse. Do you see what happens down there? Have a look at verse 19. Verse 19 says that during the night, an angel of the Lord pops into that same jail. He opens the door and brings the apostles out. Who's really in control here? Who's really in control at this point? Now, we need to just press pause for a second, and I need to tell you that this isn't a promise that God will free you from jail, whether literally or metaphorically. He can do it. He did it here, and he even does it now, but this isn't a promise about that. We see in a couple of chapters that another early Christian, Stephen, was arrested, taken to court, and then was killed. We're going to see that in a couple of weeks. Now, this story here is here for another reason. It's here to show us who is really in control. Because in our world, when we look around, we see glowing billboards. We see big shiny buildings. We see businesses pumping billions into advertising. We see the big men on the world stage. And it is easy to press that shrink button. When you think of the bully in the school playground or the bully in your workplace, when you think of the bad events that are going on in the world that seem completely out of control, when you look around and you see people more beautiful or more brilliant or with bigger characters, it's easy to press the shrink button, isn't it? Because we feel small, we feel insignificant, we feel incapable. How can I possibly stand up and live and speak for Jesus in a world like this? I'm just me. We're just us. Look around. I love you all, but we are just Christ Church Central. We are a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city in a country of medium importance. Look at our building. I love this building. We've got so many happy memories here. But within 10 years, in our bit of Fitzwilliam Street, we will be surrounded by really big buildings. We will literally be the smallest, the oldest, the least impressive, and the least shiny building in our street. How can we possibly stand up and speak and share good news? We're just us. But remember who's really in control. The angel popped in, the angel opened the door, and the angel brought them out. It was that easy for God because he's really in control. And it's that easy now, not for you or for me, but it's still that easy for God because he's really, really in control. And I think that changes everything. We might have the smallest building, but we worship one who holds the universe in the palm of his hands. We might not be the best speakers, but we worship one whose words are life, whose words created everything, whose words can bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God into even the hardest and most closed and most stubborn hearts. And he's at work right now, speaking right now. So who's really in control? It's the Lord. And so his angel says, have a look down at verse 20. His angel says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life that you found in Jesus Christ. So let's press pause again. Let's press pause. And just in a moment of quiet, Chris, can you put the question on the screen, please? I would love you to think for yourself, who or what do you think is in control? Just a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray before we carry on. Moment of quiet. Father, we thank you that you are completely in control of all things. Help us to remember that. Help us to delight in that. Help us to rest in that. And help us to stand up and speak all the words of this life. Amen. Well, that's our second encouragement, that God is the one who's really in control. The third encouragement is down there in verses 21 to 32. And we're going to see here that God is really, really good and that he is really, really forgiving. Have a look at how the story continues. The high priest and all the authorities gather together in the morning. The apostles are out in the temple courts. They are telling people about Jesus. The high priest, though, and the authorities, they gather inside the court building. And they say, bring the prisoners in. Go and fetch them from the jail cell. Bring them in. So the guards go to the prison, but they're not there. The doors, they're securely locked. The guards are still standing guard, but the prison cell is empty. And in a moment of huge understatement, it says they were greatly perplexed. Someone runs in from the temple courts and says, guys, they're not in the jail. They're actually standing outside there where you arrested them. And they're preaching about Jesus again. So they bring the apostles back in. They go and fetch them from the temple courts and bring them back into the courtroom. And have a look at verse 28 and see what happens. Verse 28, the high priest says, we strictly charged you to not do this, but you've gone and filled Jerusalem with all this teaching. Now have a look at what the apostles say back. Have a look at what they say back in verse 29. They say, no, you've got this all wrong. You've got this the wrong way around. You're not in control. Our God is the one who's really in control. You think you are, but it's really him that's in control. He's the one on the throne of heaven, above all other things, in control of all other things. And then have a look at verse 29. They say, we must obey him rather than men or women. Now look, Peter himself later on writes in a letter called 1 Peter that as Christians, we should always obey his... Let me rephrase that. We, as Christians, we should obey the emperor and the authorities. So this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card about not needing to pay your taxes or your student loan or whatever. No, you do need to follow the law. This is the point, though. The point is this. When the powers and the authorities tell you to do something that is the opposite of what God has told you, you obey God and not them. These Christians, they had been told to shut up. They had been told to not speak about Jesus. They had been told to stop doing Christian things. And if anyone ever tells you to do that, you don't listen to them. You obey God and not them. But the question is why? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's because he is God and because he is good. Now look, Peter knew this from personal experience. Peter was the leader of the apostles. He was the one on whom Jesus said he would build the church. But when Jesus was himself arrested and in this very same courtroom, Peter rejected Jesus. Peter betrayed Jesus. He disobeyed Jesus. He disowned him. He didn't do it once. He didn't do it twice. He did it three times over. But our God is not just in control, he's also good. And that changes everything. Have a look down at verse 30 and 31 and see what Peter says. Peter says, God raised Jesus. That's the one whom Peter had deserted, the one he had disobeyed and disowned, and the one this very court had sentenced to death. But God raised him. Verse 31, God exalted this Jesus and made him to be our leader and our savior. Why did he do it? He did it to give repentance. And here's the key word. He did it to give forgiveness. Peter knew that from his own personal experience. After disobeying Jesus, after disowning Jesus, Jesus met Peter and showed him grace. Jesus welcomed him back in. He showed him kindness. He forgave him and gave him a fresh start. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of Lord the Lord Jesus is. He's good and he forgives. And perhaps you're here this evening, and as you look back over the past week, you've not obeyed him. Perhaps as you look back over the past week, like Peter, you've disowned Jesus with your words or with your actions. But if that's you, and if we're honest, that's all of us, our good Lord offers you forgiveness and a fresh start. If only we'll turn back to him. So why would we not want to follow this Lord Jesus? Why would we not want to obey him? He's really, really good. So let's press pause there for a second. Questions on the screen behind me. Why don't we take a moment, just a quietness, to turn to him for forgiveness and to ask his help in obeying him in the week ahead. Just a moment of quiet for us to pray, for us to think. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the way that he died to forgive us. Please help us to see just how good he is. And please help us to obey you. Amen. So that's our third encouragement. God is good and he's forgiving. But do you see how the authorities respond? Have a look down at verse 33. And see how they respond to what Peter has just said to them. Do you see it down there? They are enraged. They're furious. They are so angry. And they want to kill them. So let's go and see our fourth and final encouragement. It's down there, verses 33 to 39. And the fourth encouragement is that no one can stop God. You see, in the courtroom, one man stands up. His name is Gamaliel. He stands up and he starts to try and calm down the situation. And he says, have a look down at verse 38. He says, top of page 914, he says, if this that's going on, if the early church that's growing, if it's not from God, you don't need to worry about it because it's going to fizzle out. But have a look at the next verse. Verse 39, if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow it. Did you spot that? If it is from God, you won't be able to stop this. Which is such a wonderful, joyful truth if you're here this evening and you're a Christian. Because it means this, our God is at work, he's in control, he's good and forgiving, and nothing can stop him from being those things. That changes everything. That changes everything. Jesus himself says that even the gates of hell will not prevail against the growth of the church. The empires of the world, they come and go, but the church continues. What became of the Roman Empire? So powerful in the times of the Bible. What happened to them? They became Christians. That's what happened to them. What became of the barbarian hordes that attacked Rome? They became Christian. What became of the pagan religions in our own country? They became Christian. If it is of God, and the message of this bit of the Bible, of the whole Bible, is that this is from God, if it's from God, no one can stop it. Because nothing can stop our God. Nothing or no one can stop the spread of the good news about Jesus. Now, that's not to say there isn't an ebb and a flow. Individual Christians and individual churches, even national churches, will come and go, but the church as a whole will endure because of whose she is. She belongs to the Lord Jesus, who, as we've seen, is at work, who's in control, and who's really good, and nothing can stop him. And friends, that's really good news, really encouraging news for us in our country as we look around and see churches closing, as we see Christians giving up on things. Because in a quiet way, even here in our own country, the gospel is still growing. The church is still growing. People are taking Bibles. People are curious to find out more. People are seeking the Lord. Churches are being planted. Ministers and missionaries and many others are being sent out to take the good news about Jesus to new places. Gamaliel wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he got it right. If it's from God, the world will not be able to overthrow it. So doesn't that give you confidence to not press the shrink button? Doesn't it give you confidence to go and speak to your friend, your classmate, your housemate, and not press the shrink button? So friends, as we draw to a close, don't press the shrink button. Instead, look to the Lord. He's at work. He is in control. He is really, really good, and he cannot be stopped. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Musicians, if you'd like to get ready, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us like these Christians that we read about here. Help us to not press the shrink button. Help us to keep going. Help us to rejoice in you, even when it's difficult to stand up and speak about Jesus. Help us to remember that you are at work, that you're in control, that you're really good, you're really forgiving, and that nothing can stop you. Help us to trust you, and help us to keep on living and speaking for Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing of our wonderful Lord.